Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. It's episode 79 of Eurobash. We are still in isolation. We are still apart, but our love only grows. Noel McGrath, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Not too bad. Can't complain. 5 weeks, getting a bit frustrated. But yeah, just got a soldier fuck on. Is that right?
That's it, man. Like, I mean, if we weren't creating all these headlines and creating these fantastic podcasts, God knows, I'd probably have lost my mind. But lucky enough, we remain busy with the wacky and weird world of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, it's been an odd one. It's been eventful as per usual, even though there's zero fights on. There's bitching going on left and right. There's, you know, fisting. Mad comments, fisting comments going on. There's, you know, John Jones. There's, I don't know, man. It's wild as per usual, but at least it's keeping us talking, man. It's at least one of the few sports that's keeping us talking.
Yes, yes. Without further ado, let's get these news headlines away, out of the way even, Jesus. UFC will go forward with an event on May 9th. It will be headlined by Justin Gaethje v. Tony Ferguson. UFC have also copyrighted Fight Island and UFC Fight Island. Tony Ferguson makes weight on April 17th despite the cancellation of UFC 249. Of course he does. John Jones declares interest in Jan Blachowicz's title defense. Still unofficial, but looking very good for our European friend who we'll hear from later on. PFL have postponed all of the 2020 season. They will provide their fighters with a monthly stipend, and they will look to relaunch the next season in the spring of 2021. Also, Frank Mir declares free agency, and KSW declare interest. Boom! Noel McGrath, Fight Island is real. I've said it before. What do you think of all this madness?
Man, like, I don't know. Like, Fight Island, like, it's a Love Island. There's a new thing on Netflix with some other island.
It's not like Love Island. Don't ruin it. It's not like Love Island.
It's the opposite of Love Island. Like, imagine if they put it in, like, as I said, I think I tweeted there last week, Inishmore or somewhere like that, some little place, there's a few pints and a bar. Man, I don't know. Listen, is Dana just spoofing us again, creating headlines? Who knows? Like, he's been very confident about this. He said he nearly had it booked a couple of weeks ago, and we still haven't heard anything really from the horse's mouth about where it actually is, or, you know, has he got this island over the line? But listen, I wouldn't, as I said last week, back against him with this. Remember what happened with fire and stuff.
Yeah, well, as you know, Dana has been having these calls with the fighters. I've been talking to a few people who will remain nameless. And this is what I've gathered. I don't know if this has been put out there yet. I haven't really been checking out every report around the world. But from what I've heard, the displaced fighters from the London card will be given first dibs on this said Fight Island, which they have been told is real. The fighters can go there, they can train there, they can stay there. The fights will be held behind closed doors with no media. There will be weekly fights, and the PI is still open, the Performance Institute, and the Apex will soon open again. These are the information I believe that was given to the fighters on the call. There's another call tonight, which is Monday night, when we record this. So that can still develop. And of course, with this terrain, it is very, 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 very tedious to really know what's happening for definite. But look, they look like they're going to start weekly events from May 9th, apparently. Yeah. And Yeah, I mean, I'm not all surprised.
I think it links in with what obviously Donald Trump was saying. You know, obviously a lot of our listeners here are going to be American, and Donald Trump has more or less left it open for the US to start having sports events again, obviously behind closed doors. But it's going to be up to each governor in each state to obviously clear that and put that over the line. So obviously the less vulnerable states, the states that have obviously a less of an infection in terms of the virus, will reopen up by the sounds of it. So I think that does sort of fit in with what Dane is saying in terms of, you know, the Apex reopening. He mentioned that a few weeks ago. So yeah, it's looking likely at the moment, but shit changes on a day-to-day basis, that we're going to have fights in the next couple of weeks, which is obviously encouraging for the fighters.
We aren't all surprised. I know you're not surprised. No. But not about this, but about Tony Ferguson making weight for this fight. No, but I mean, look, yeah, it's not crazy, right? Considering that he has to fight in 3 weeks' time, probably not the best idea. But I mean, if anyone's coming away from this with a completely bolstered stock with some absolute new clout, it's Tony Ferguson. I don't think I've ever seen a time where Tony Ferguson has been such a sweetheart in the eyes of the MMA community in general.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I think, you know, if we're talking about in terms of the weight, obviously, first of all, I think, you know, it's typical Tony sort of behavior, you know, utter pro, third pro to the end, get it over the line. I felt like it was almost he was trying to prove a point. Just throw a few fingers up the hill. I'm always on game. I'm always ready to throw down. And you know, Khabib wasn't here. I'm waiting for you. You know, that sort of message he's been sending out. And in terms of, what was the second part of the question? I've gone on a waffle there. What were you saying?
I didn't ask a second question.
No, yeah. No, but like, that's typical Tony, man. You got to love the guy. Sorry, the sweetheart in terms of the fans. And yeah, and you can totally see that because the guy's battled back from so much. You know, people were calling him cringy and stuff, and which he is, but you just have to take that with Tony. And, you know,
it's embracing the cringe. That's what it's about. It's about just taking it all in and letting the man be what he is. I mean, he's completely different. Yeah. He's, you've been saying this for years.
I love the guy.
But I mean, he's really coming out of his shell now. He is full on not giving a fuck
I think he's been like this for so long. People are just like, we have to accept Tony the way he is. And they're beginning to really embrace what he's doing. And it's Tony. There's no bullshit here in what he's doing. He's always been like that. Like, you know, I think the first time he interviewed him was 4 or 5 years ago, and he was like that. He hasn't changed. The guy's just he's just brilliant for the sport, I think, you know, personally. And, you know, great guy. And I think if we're looking at this fight going forward, and what is it, 3 weeks' time? Is it 3 weeks?
Yeah.
3 weeks. Yeah. I think, you know, with this sort of statement that he's made about the weight and everything he's done in the last couple of weeks, it's, you know, people are gonna relate to that in these times of need as well. And maybe it was a message to the fans going, you know, if I can make weight without an opponent, you know, you can do things. Maybe he's always talking about inspiring people, and maybe it was something like that, a message. And like, what do you think of, you know, you got a lot of criticism for making weight without an opponent. There was a lot of hate towards him from a lot of people as well, I noticed. There was a lot of people is this guy doing? He's an idiot. He's a total clown, especially with what's going on. He's more susceptible to his immune system, you know, getting in trouble.
I didn't see it. I just saw people kind of laughing how wacky it was. And we were speaking to Jared Cannonier on the A side, and we asked him, like, you know, do you think this is going to affect him? He's like, no. Like, you mean he's lean as it is? It's not ideal to get down to the weight and then having to do it again. But like, he's like, in 3 weeks' time, do I think that weight cut's going to affect the fight? No, he said, I don't think so. It's just crazy, man. It's very funny stuff. But that was not the only thing about the much revered Tony and Khabib fight that will never happen, as we know. That came up last week. There was an article on Middle Easy, and I should mention, because Middle Easy liked to have a bit of crack, and fair play to them for it. But I should say that this whole report was prefaced with a thing at the top saying, listen, we don't have anything to do here, so you can't blame us for this. Yeah. But a source has told them that Khabib suffered a KO in the lead up to this fight. This is nearly every fight, right, that we hear this about, but how unlikely is it that this happens to Khabib? I think crazy unlikely, and I'll tell you why. Daniel Cormier was on with Ariel Helwani. They're doing that show on Mondays now during quarantine, and it's very good. You should listen to it. It's a good take from DC. He was talking about a time where they're in the gym, and he was overly aggressive with an open palm on the back of Habib's neck once, and he said he was surrounded by about 10 Russians in 5 seconds, and he's just shitting himself like, oh, I'm sorry. So I think if a guy came in and KO'd Habib, I think he'd be dead. I don't think anyone is gonna live to tell the tale if that does happen. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a quiet time for a lot of websites, and they need stories, and like, you know, man, I know it's bad, but you know, I'm taking that with a pinch of salt. And listen, if it did happen, you know, maybe he might have pissed off back to Russia. Regardless, I know I would. If I got knocked out anywhere, I'd be running home straight away. But nah, listen, it's unlikely, I think. And you know, when you're people are putting reports out like that, it's just utter stupidity without real any sort of substance behind it. And I think it was, I had a look at the article you sent me, and I think it was those two were the only outlets that were running with it. So I think that sort of says something to you in general. But yeah, I'm just sort of saying that it's probably bollocks, to be honest with you.
Throwing daggers.
Fuck it.
Right, well, look, let's get on with our first interview of the day. It's another Russian, Mr. Pyotr Yan, who, believe it or not, had a few things to say about Dominic Cruz getting in the next fight against Henry Cejudo. Pyotr, never a man afraid to mince. He doesn't mince his words, doesn't pull any punches. I got away with no death threat this time again. So, I mean, I feel like I'm moving up in Pyotr Yan's world. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I listened and through it, obviously, and the end of it there was obviously some niceties. He said something to you. I couldn't make out what it was, but there was a bit of a laugh shared. So I think he's going to spare you for the moment anyway. You're not in any immediate danger.
I don't know if you left it in, but the end of it was very funny.
He actually is
talking. We had a bit of a chat at the start in English before we started recording. Now he's still learning, obviously, but he is improving. And at the end, I was like, "Oh, see you later, Pyotr. Thanks very much." And he's like, "Hello, brother."
That was what he said. It was a brother. I couldn't make it out. All right, cool. But I actually want to mention a point after the interview anyway about, you know, maybe the English language. So maybe kick into it there.
Right. So this is Pyotr Yan, a veteran of the Eurobash, one of your favorites, never fails to deliver. Here he is. We'll be back in about 15 minutes. He is back. Your favorite guest, Pyotr Yan, is back on Eurobash to lay some scorched earth on the bantamweight division, no doubt, once again. A lot of you guys wanted to see Pyotr pushed into that championship fight with Henry Cejudo, but now we are hearing it is Dominic Cruz who is scheduled to fight him next. But Pyotr, how are you, first of all? And are you in Thailand, or whereabouts in the world are you?
Как дела и где ты сейчас находишься?
Все хорошо, я нахожусь в Таиланде. It's good. I know stay here Thailand.
Wow, listen to this English. Amazing. It's getting better every single time, my friend.
Slowly, step by step.
Good man, Syed. How has this whole thing affected Pyotr? Is everything going as normal? Is he training as he usually does? Or has this coronavirus pandemic affected his training?
Как вообще эта ситуация с вирусом на тебя повлияла? Как твои тренировки проходят? Как здесь обстоят дела в целом?
Да, тренировки все нормально. Я чуть-чуть устал. Чуть-чуть пока в неизведанности в такой. А так все нормально. По чуть-чуть тренируемся. Все нормально.
It's okay. I'm feeling a bit tired because it's still kind of unknown. Where I'm gonna fight, and but I'm keep on training. You know, obviously it's a quarantine, and we cannot go to the gym, but we're still training, and just staying in shape.
Is his family and friends? Everyone is still good. Everyone is healthy.
Твои друзья, семья, все здоровы, все нормально.
Да, все хорошо. Спасибо. У вас как? Ваши друзья, родные, были здоровы?
Yes, everyone is healthy, everything is good, and he's asking how's your family, how's your friends? Is there?
Yes, thank you. Everyone is good so far, and that's great to hear about his family. But I got to ask him, we've had some bad news about Dominic Cruz getting this next title fight and not Pyotr Yan. We wanted to see Pyotr fight for that belt. How did this happen, and why did it happen, as far as he's concerned?
Он спрашивает, ну, мы все слышали эту новость, плохую новость, то, что Доминик Крус будет драться за титул, и он и все слушатели хотели бы увидеть именно тебя в бою за титул. Как это произошло и почему это произошло, как ты думаешь?
Честно, такие моменты в UFC меня расстраивают, когда человек не дрался 3 года, ему дают бой за пояс. Я считаю, это только удар по репутации.
To be honest, moments like this in UFC kind of upset me, you know. He didn't fight for more than 3 years, and now he's coming back and getting title shot right away. And this kind of upsets me, and this is a big hit for UFC reputation, in my opinion.
I agree with him to a certain extent. Does he think this happened because he isn't in the US? Is there any issue there about him getting there? Was he offered this fight? Was there any communication to him that he could be the guy? Because outside of, obviously they made the Aldo fight, everyone thought it was either Piotr or Aljo who would get the fight if it wasn't Aldo, right?
Как считаешь?
What's going on over there, you two? You guys are crazy.
He's crazy.
What's going on? This needs to be a video interview so we can see what he's doing over there.
Yeah. It's in his Instagram. He's doing some face filters on me while I'm translating.
Amazing, amazing.
И как ты думаешь, почему это произошло вообще, и почему именно Крус получил, почему тебе не предложили, потому что ты не находишься в Америке, или ты не можешь туда попасть?
Да, может быть, потому что я не нахожусь в Америке, может быть, потому что я не американец, может быть, потому что они меня боятся просто и не хотят пояс еще один в Россию отдавать.
Yeah, maybe because I'm not in America, I wasn't granted this title shot, or maybe because I'm not American, they didn't give me this opportunity, or maybe because they're afraid of me and they don't want to give a chance to win the title to another Russian fighter. They don't want 2 Russian champions.
Does he think this is a possibility? Do they think they want to have American champions?
Считаешь ли ты, что это возможно, что они хотят, чтобы было побольше американских чемпионов?
Не, я думаю, что, конечно, наверное, это не главная задача, но вроде как международная организация, конечно же, но просто чуть здесь непонятно, почему именно Крузу. Ну, я не думаю, что за счет его имени только дают ему бой, и они еще так уверены, что они там за счет этого заработают большие деньги или что. Или что он выиграет Сихуда, там, не знаю.
I don't think it's their main goal, but, yeah, it's an international organization, but, yeah, for me it's kind of unclear, you know, why they gave it to Cruz. I don't think, in my opinion, his name gonna bring a lot of pay-per-view bias or something like this. I don't know, it's kind of different, difficult question for me.
Yes, it's weird, right? Because like Cejudo seems to just talk about these guys all the time, like Cruz, Aldo. He even told my colleague Damon Martin that he wants to go on a Legends tour where he fights Frankie Edgar. I mean, this must be very frustrating for Piotr to hear when he is right there. It feels like he should be the next guy, and he's hearing this champion speak about every other fighter in the division. As he says, some guys who haven't fought for a very long time. Some guys never even won a fight in the division. It must be very frustrating.
Сихода постоянно говорит именно о том, что он хочет драться так называемыми легендами этого спорта. Он даже упомянул Эдгара. То есть все, кого он упоминает, у некоторых даже нету победы в этом дивизионе. И как на тебя это влияет? Раздражает ли тебя поведение Сихода и его заявление?
Да, конечно же, это неприятно, что именно такая ситуация, что Сихода, да, вызывает, но там того же сейчас хочет драться, ё-моё, с Эдгаром. Не, Эдгар там куда ни шло еще, но именно Крус, он не дрался там около 3 лет, и сразу дать ему бой за пояс, я считаю, что это неправильно, это есть бойцы, которые дерутся, которые участвуют там постоянно, там не отказываясь от поединков, и тут такая неприятная ответочка.
Yeah, I think there's more active, first of all, active and more deserving fighters to fight for the belt, and I don't understand why you give it to the guy who's been inactive for so long.
Does he think, has he lost even more respect for Henry Cejudo? Because I can remember the last time he was on the show, he still kind of had respect for him, but he just kind of wanted to beat him up. But do you think, as he keeps talking about these guys who aren't Piotr Jan, does that make him, you know, lack respect for him? Think, you know, he's losing his good reputation, so to speak.
Теряешь ли ты уважение к Сехудо с каждым его таким заявлением, и считаешь ли ты, что он это плохо отражается на его репутации?
Да нет, я к нему не теряю уважения. Он там, он свою игру ведет. Суть в том, просто, ну, UFC как бы тоже принимает, но соглашается с его там игрой. Мне, честно, без разницы, что он там делает там.
No, I cannot say that I lost respect to him. I understand he's playing his game. He's doing his part. The weirdest thing that UFC also kind of agrees with him. That's kind of weird.
Will it make... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm not saying I don't respect him, but yeah, for me it's weird.
Definitely weird, definitely. But I was going to ask, like, with all this stuff going on, with Henry seemingly avoiding Piotr, will this make it all the more sweeter when he finally gets his hands on him? Will this make it even bigger for him, an even bigger moment, because Henry seems to be avoiding the fight?
Учитывая то, что Сехудо явно избегает боя с тобой, все-таки, когда ты получишь этот шанс с ним подраться, для тебя это будет значить еще больше, учитывая нынешние обстоятельства, или нет?
Да нет, для меня больше и меньше ничего не значит. Мне интересен пояс, будет он у Сехудо, будет он еще у кого-то. Мне без разницы, с кем драться. Это... У меня нет к нему какой-то там... Меня интересует пояс. Просто он как чемпион ведет себя некрасиво.
For me, you know, I don't take it personal. I'm not focused on Cejudo. I'm focused on getting the belt. So for me, it doesn't really matter, you know, who I'm going to fight. And I'm just focused on getting that championship belt. And that's it.
You know, a lot of people see him and Aljamain Sterling as the main guys in the division behind Cejudo. Does he see Aljamain on level pegging with him? Does he see him in a similar place?
Многие считают, что из достойных претендентов это только ты, либо Aljamain Sterling. Считаешь ли ты, что Sterling заслуживает титула так же, как и ты? Вы на одном уровне или нет?
Я думаю, что я больше него провел боев, победил более зрелищно, выиграл даже бонус боя вечера в Москве. Ну и Стерлинг, он тоже хороший, достойный боец, но я думаю, что он после меня в очереди.
Стерлинг is a good fighter and he is a deserving title shot too, but I think I deserve it more because I've been more active, I had more wins. I have a longer winning streak and I had more exciting performances. I had 2-1 fight of the night bonus and 1 performance bonus. So I think I'm ahead of him.
I agree. I think Piotr is ahead of him too. But I feel as though if he fought Aljamain Sterling, the winner of that fight would have to fight for the title. Is that a possibility? Is that something he would entertain?
Он тоже считает, что ты впереди Стерлинга, но, говорит, допустим, если бы ты подрался с Стерлингом, победил бы, то бы это вообще не оставило никаких вопросов. Согласен ли ты с этим и хотел бы ты этого боя?
Ну, в данный момент у меня есть бой, есть соперник, он побеждал Стерлинга нокаутом, он находится в первом номере в рейтинге. Я думаю, что сначала мне нужно разобраться с ним, а что будет дальше. Дальше я думаю, что мы будем претендентами номер один на титул.
Right now, I already have a fight scheduled, and I have an opponent. Ooh. And Marlon, he beat Sterling, he knocked out Sterling, and he's right now ranked number one. So I need to take care of him first, and if I will do that, then I will be clear number one contender.
So this fight is still happening with Marlon Moraes on Fight Island, maybe?
Получается, этот бой все еще в силе, возможно, на бойцовском острове.
Я думаю, что да, я подписал контракт, поэтому мы ждем, что будет дальше, ждем информации. Я надеюсь, что этот бой состоится, и Марлон тоже в это надеется.
I believe, yes, I believe it will happen. I signed bout agreement a few weeks ago. I hope it's going to happen. I think Marlon also believes it's going to happen. So right now we're getting ready.
For a guy that spends a lot of time on Thailand, he must be excited about going to another island. Is that exciting for him?
Для человека, который очень часто проводит время в Таиланде, для тебя, наверное, это тебе будет интересно и взволнованным посетить еще один остров и подраться там.
Любую точку мира.
Any place in the world. I don't care.
I saw the other day that Piotr took on Cody Garbrandt on social media. Is he starting to worry that all these guys with losing streaks are going to get title shots before him?
Несколько дней назад он увидел, что ты в Твиттере атаковал Коди Гарбранта. Переживаешь ли то, что все эти парни на серии с поражений получат бой за титул раньше тебя?
Но опять же, я говорю, учитывая политику UFC, что они находятся там ближе, чем я, территориально даже пусть, но несколько дней назад. Я вообще так-то перебил уже весь альфа-мейл, поэтому я не вижу, кого там я еще должен побить.
Yeah, considering UFC politics, I don't know, maybe him being regionally closer it might affect their decision to give him the title shot, I don't know, but I already beat up the half of Team Alpha Male. I don't know what else I can do.
Какой Коди? Я выиграл 6 боев подряд, он 3 боя подряд проиграл. Ну вот какой сейчас у меня может бой быть с ним? Для чего он вообще нужен?
Yeah, like, I don't even understand why we're talking about him. He lost 3 fights in a row, I won 6 fights in a row. Why are we even, like, talking about him and talking about this matchup, you know? We're in different leagues now.
Yes, yes, I agree. I just thought it was very funny what he said, so I needed to ask him about that. But does he feel as though, like, you know, he beats Moraes, he has to be given this shot, right? If he beats Moraes, he has to be given the title. Has he been told this much?
Он говорит, все выглядит так, что если ты победишь Мораеса, тебе дадут шанс подраться за титул. Тебе обещали это или нет?
Нет, никто не обещал, но мы посмотрим, что будет. Конечно, я думаю, что здесь не может быть никаких вопросов, если я побеждаю Мораеса, кто дерется следующий за пояс. Хватит уже этих фейковых претендентов откапывать, не пойми откуда. Круз, там, кто там еще, откуда они вообще, Фрэнки и Эдгар. Я могу их за один вечер с ними подраться по очереди.
Yeah, to be honest, no one like promised me the title shot, but I think it's going to be unquestionable that I'm going to be the clear number one contender. And, you know, it's time to stop digging up all these fake contenders from, I don't know, from where, like Cruz and Edgar. I can fight them in one evening if I need to.
Amazing, amazing. I've got one more question. I know Piotr has to go to training, but he seems like a very fun guy. So I wanted to know if he has any recommendations for our listeners of things they can be doing when they're so bored with all this isolation and quarantine. What is a good thing he can recommend we do? Read a book, watch a film, do some exercise. What does Piotr Jan do?
Что бы ты посоветовал его слушателям на время карантина? Чем ты сам занимаешься, как ты себя развлекаешь, читаешь книги, смотришь какие-то фильмы. Что ты посоветуешь людям на карантине?
Я бы посоветовал людям на карантине, ну, побольше времени проводить с семьей, конечно же, нужно обязательно выходить, дышать воздухом, поменьше смотреть этот ящик, телевизор. Ну и, конечно, написать UFC, чтобы они давали драться нормальным претендентам, а не этим фейковым пенсионерам.
I would recommend everyone to spend more time with their family, try to breathe some fresh air if it's possible, spend less time watching this TV, and maybe use this free time to write to UFC to stop giving up these title shots to fake contenders.
Yes, this is very good advice. Very good advice. I'll recommend all of our listeners do this. Thank you so much, Soyad. Thank you so much, Piotr. You guys are legends. I hope you stay safe over there in Thailand, and I really hope we get to see that title fight before the end of the year.
Yeah, but we too. Stay safe, bro.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Hello, brother.
You're a legend. Hello. See you soon.
What a man is Piotr Jan.
What a man is Piotr Jan. That rhymed well. Good stuff. Good
I've work. Been thinking about it all day.
You probably have. Boredom is high.
Yeah, it is. It's rife. But I think the guy clearly knows the fight game. The guy clearly knows what he's doing. Obviously, it's good news that the fight with Marlon Moraes is still on for Piotr's sake. And you got to agree with him that, I mean, if he beats the guy that KO'd Aljo,
yeah,
he probably is legitimately the number one contender, right?
Yeah, but you know the problem.
I already think he is.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do agree with you, yeah. Like that Uriah Faber performance, he just toyed with one of the best bantamweights of all time and literally... You know, he told him he was going to knock him out, and he just did it after playing with him for whatever it was. It's the first round and a half, two rounds. But the guy, man, the major problem here is, and we've seen it in the past, and I even mentioned it, I think, a couple of weeks ago, when we looked at Habib a number of years ago, before he grasped the English language, the UFC have no interest in giving a world title to a fighter that can't speak English. And I think that's a big, big issue for Piotr Jan here, you know, going forward. I think they're maybe just holding him a little bit back till he grasps the language fully. And like when he does grasp the language fully, as you've just heard there, what a marketable guy. You know, it's
he's unbelievable.
He's hilarious. He's funny. He's witty. He's no
dark
filter.
As well. Like he has a nasty side to him too. Like I love it.
That's
I love it.
It
all.
And I think that's the major problem for Piotr at the moment. And the UFC are a marketing machine, and more of a marketing machine, more so than ever, with WMEIMG behind them. And that's a massive point that I'd like to sort of make in terms of why Piotr Jan isn't getting a title shot off the bat, because he deserves one.
So you kind of he didn't directly say it, but yeah, he was definitely kind of flirting with that when he was saying, well, I'm not an American. Maybe they don't want two Russian champions. You think he was on the ball there?
Totally.
Or knocking on the door of being on the ball? I don't think he wanted to completely say this is why it is, but he certainly suggested, you know?
Yeah, no, I do. I definitely agree with him. Maybe not because they don't want two Russians. I think they want, you know, two guys who've a fluent grasp of the English language in order to market themselves, really. That's what I'm getting at. I don't think it's down to them being Russian. I think it's more the language.
Yes. As we know, Conor McGregor, he is a man of many options. He has many different opponents he can take up at any one time. But I think he shocked us all last week when he came to social media blows with the one and only Sinead O'Connor. Absolutely madness. This is bringing out some of the craziest things that have ever happened. My phone was blowing up. It was nearly doing a pirouette on the table. It was the fucking vibrations were going off so much. Two Irish giants colliding in public. Fantastic. Enjoyed it thoroughly.
It was odd to say the least. And you know,
and of course, as we know, Sinead O'Connor is, she has sang Connor out ahead of the Chad Mendes fight. She is the singer of The Foggy Jew, which melds into Hypnotized by Notorious B.A.G., Connor's most prevalent entrance. So a bit skin in the game there, to say the least.
there was a lot of heat. It got nasty at one stage. I thought it was really going to kick off when the old or word was nearly used. And it was just bizarre, man. I've never seen anything like that. And I thought they were pals, and it it sort of ended a little bit weird as well. I think Connor said, you know, we're not in school now or something in Irish. I'm not very good, you know.
No, what he said in Irish was, Shane O'Connor said, you know, you should, something along the lines, I'm paraphrasing, something along the lines of, you should watch what you're saying, because it appears as though, you know, it sounded racist. Made racist comments before. And in Irish, he wrote back saying, don't confuse the fight game with reality. Again, paraphrasing.
The Leaving Cert, was it?
Something I hope he lines? Wasn't. No, nothing to do with the Leaving Cert, mate. Like, what are you talking about?
Sorry.
He said he was talking about Habib, obviously, if that's what Sinead was talking about. And she was just saying, don't confuse reality with the fight game. And then I think it was something along the lines of, like, I don't think he took offense, or I don't think there was offense intended. The translation was a bit weird there on the last part, but very strange. Yeah. Very strange.
It was just odd.
You nearly have to ask Gregor to say it in English, like to give his thoughts in English, because as we know, the Irish language can have many, many different variations and translations of what he was saying.
Oh, yeah, 100%. South, east, west is dialects coming out of my bloody arse, mate, in the Irish language. But yeah, just an odd occurrence, and you know, maybe there's something runs deeper that we don't know about between the pair. But it seemed to Sinead was the first one.
What are you trying to suggest there?
Maybe there was an argument before about something, I don't know. But yeah, just very, very odd seeing two Irish sort of icons go at it. And yeah, listen, hopefully they have a cup of tea and make up over Zoom or something like that. I don't know. It was just weird. And I don't think she'd be singing a song for the next time.
Does he still come out to the tune?
No, not at all, mate. Not after that.
Oh.
No chance. No, it's gone now. I think Connor is going to be looking for something else, because she sort of went at him, like, in fairness. Like, it wasn't... You didn't really expect her, anyone, to sort of come in of that stature and start slagging him, especially with their prior relationship as well. It was just sort of a bit out of left field. So, I don't know. I wouldn't say Connor took that too well, knowing what he's like if people criticise him. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. I think we'll have a new walkout song anyway, definitely.
I don't know, because the one time he came out to that El Chapo song with a game was the... What was... He came out to El Chapo by the game. Was that the first Diaz fight and he got beat? And then he's come out to the Foggy Jew ever since then. Like, I mean, I think it's iconic, that entrance. I don't think he should change it. And I think it will look like, be the bigger man and keep the song. That would be my advice, because it's savage.
Yeah, but if anyone's likely to change their song over something like that, it is Mr. McGregor. In fairness.
You'll have Christy Dignam's version of fucking Foggy Joe.
All right, we'll have Damo Dempsey. negative vibes.
he does a version of Foggy Joe, though, so it'll be perfect.
Oh, good stuff.
But
good
let's talk about this. Ireland, right? So we can give people a perspective on Ireland better than anywhere else. The championship, the biggest sporting event in Irish sports, in Gaelic football, Gaelic sports in general, has been cancelled. It's an event that spans the whole summer, finishes in August, September. Of course, UFC Dublin is scheduled for August. Now, look, I've had a look online, and I'm seeing a lot of events being postponed until August. Like, I mean, as in, they were meant to happen in March, they were meant to happen in April, now they're happening in August. There's even talk today that, like, some the pubs will be closed for the next year and things like that to avoid public gatherings and stuff. I don't know how accurate that is, but is UFC Dublin in jeopardy?
Oh, yeah, you know, most definitely in jeopardy. I think, you know, as we've talked about and what you've just said there, is things are changing on a day-to-day basis, Petey, and it's very, very, very hard to, you know, get a grasp of the situation and what's happening. I think we've had more deaths this evening than we've had in prior days, and I think we're actually expecting a downturn today, and we seem to be peaked today with I think 77 deaths. You know, time of recording here is Monday evening, so yeah, we just don't know what's going on. And I think, you know, if you look at the championship, it's a little bit different in terms of the scale of it, because these guys obviously start, I think the championship starts, what is it, is it end of June or start of July they start? So if you look at that and you put it in terms of the longevity of the competition, if they move it further out, it's going to interfere with the club season, etc. Things are going to be on top of each other. There's going to be too many games played. They've talked about the Six Nations as well, possibly doing another Six Nations this year at the end of the year to make up for lost revenue for the international bodies. And yeah, I just think it's a matter of playing the waiting game at the moment. And yeah, like there are events being called off left and right, but I think, you know, in the next month we'll have probably a better picture of what's going on. And well, that's what the government are telling us, so I think we're going to have to go by that. So I don't think we can totally jeopardize it or rule it, you know, out yet, but it's definitely in jeopardy, man, because this is obviously a massively serious situation. And I think, you know, we might even see a lot of these fights, as you said earlier on, that you heard whispers the London cards are going to be transferred to Fight Island. This could be very much the case come the end of the year. We just don't know. It's mental.
Yes. Well, look.
But how do you feel about it?
Oh, UFC Dublin?
Yeah. Like,
I would expect that it would be off, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's tough. It's tough to know. Yeah, but you'd think maybe leaning more off than on at the moment, but it is a day by day basis.
I don't think there's anything on this green earth that will stop Dana White putting on cards on whatever wherever it is. But I just don't think Dublin is a likely venue. Like we are taking the most cautious route possible, really. Like, I mean, I just can't see them. Like any event on the three arena right now seems completely crazy, you know. Yeah.
Now,
as you said, we're just gonna have to wait till things develop. Like to wait till we get the lay of the land a bit better, you know.
And interesting, Darren Till was, you know, talking about throwing down on Fight Island, and he was obviously supposed to be headlining Dublin against Robert Whittaker. So, you know, maybe he knows something we don't know. But that was
all I know is. The only way Darren Till's fighting on Fight Island is if that island is not inside the US.
That is very, very true. That is very, very true. Unless he gets unless he's got through to Donald Trump on his DMs,
the orange handshake. Look, let's get on with our second interview of the day. It is, of course, a prevalent fighter in the world at the moment, Mr. Jan Blachowicz, who John Jones, in fairness, has said, it's going to be him next. And Jan has told him, I can't wait to fist you. And we asked him all about this. He's a good sport, Jan. And look, he was trying to have a joke. He's like, look, it worked, man. Everyone's talking about me fighting Jones. And he's right. So look, we'll leave you with Jan here. He has promised us he will bring the title back to Europe and put on a title defense for us. We can ask no more than that. We'll be back in 15 minutes to chat about more developments in the world of mixed martial arts. And now we are joined by one of the most talked about light heavyweights in the world at the moment, Mr. Jan Blachowicz. Jan, how is everything? How is Poland?
Yeah, all good. Everything is, how it is. The situation in the world is everywhere the same. So, but I'm good. I'm okay. I'm still in training. I'm in good shape. So I'm okay.
This is good.
I'm good. Thank you.
I see your dogs. Have you been able to take your dogs for walks again? I saw you make a post saying they would open the forests again in Poland. Have you done that today?
Today, our government, they opened the forest so we can go in legal way to forest. I go there in illegal way anyway because I cannot live without forest. So.
Yes.
But now I can, I can go and don't think about, you know, then I get the ticket.
Yes. I saw you climbing a tree. It's very impressive.
Yeah, because, you know, also the gym, they closed the gym. So I try to, you know, think about the new new way of training. So I start to climb on the tree. But anyway, I find, you know, now I've got a secret place to train. So I'm good with that.
Wow. And it's a good thing that you have a secret place to train because it looks like, based on social media, it looks like we are very close to finally getting Jan v. John Jones. This is all very exciting, eh?
Me too, yeah. I hope so, that we are very close. We will see it, but still it's only on the Twitter.
Yes.
We will see what's going to be next.
but is it a good feeling to finally have Jones speaking your name and speaking to you and saying you look like you're going to be the next challenger to his title?
So I cannot wait when Bruce Buffer will call my name like a challenger, you know. That's going to be an amazing feeling. But anyway, it is good that John Jones start to say my name and he know that I'm ready for him. And I think he afraid a little bit, but, you know, I meet him in Octagon. I promise you that. You this.
Yes, yes. Have you heard anything from the UFC yet, Jan? I know you said it's just on Twitter so far, but have you heard anything from your management or with the UFC?
No, nothing, you know. Still only on Twitter, but I hope so soon they send some information on email. But you know, everything is, you know, it's a weird situation because, you know, they start making an event one month and they start do something. So maybe then they will let us know something more. Right now, I don't know anything.
Right, I got to ask you, a huge reaction to your tweet about can't wait to fist Jones. I knew you were messing. I knew this was a joke. You were telling, but most people don't realize, right?
But you know, this was the in purpose. You know, that's why I do this. I know how to use my fist, but only you know how to punch people, not in the. Now what they're thinking, you know? But, you know, that was good. You know, everybody spoke about this right now. So, make a really good job.
Yes,
and
it's huge.
John Jones starts first this conversation. I just answered.
Were you surprised by all of the reaction? Because it was huge. It was crazy. I saw everybody on Twitter talk about this.
And with good reaction, you know? Yes. I enjoy it. You know, it was funny reaction, bad reaction. But the most important that the people start talking about this.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's what I think is so good about it. You have everybody talking about you and John Jones now.
You know, my English is I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to use my words to what people want to hear, what I want to say in correct way. So I think that every time gonna be a little bit better.
Yeah, I think it was perfect, my friend. I don't think you need to change it at all. I think you did the job very, very well. And I was wondering, because John Jones comes out and he says that you are strange. What do you think of John Jones?
I think I don't care what he do outside the octagon, you know. I just know that he is really good sportsman, one of the best in the world. And I just want to beat him inside the octagon. And that's it. I don't care about anything what he do, like a private person.
Yes, yes. I'm just, the only thing I was thinking about when I saw all of this is I was worried that because so many people are saying John Jones must be stripped of the title, and I'm thinking Jan is just about to fight the guy for the title, and now what if something bad happens because of this? Are you thinking about this at all because of his recent arrest?
No, I think I don't know. You know, it's not first time what he does like this. We'll see what's gonna happen. But like I told you before, I don't care. I just want to meet him in the octagon, inside the octagon, and beat him. Yes. And that's it. It's all in my mind. You know, I don't care what he do. I believe that the fight's gonna happen. I hope so. That's gonna be soon, and I'm gonna be the next. Challenger, not Dominic Reyes.
Yes, yes. A lot of talk about Dominic Reyes, Thiago Santos.
Yeah, but you know, I have a lot of respect to these guys, but they've got his chance. They don't use it. Now it's my turn. It's simple situation for me.
Yes, yes, of course. And we all want to see another European fight for that title.
Yes, me too.
Yes. Is it a good time to fight John Jones? With everything that's happened outside the cage and, of course, his recent performances against Santos and Reyes, they weren't his most convincing performances. Do you feel like this is a good time for you to fight him?
For me, it's the best time, you know, because I'm in one of the best shape in my life. I feel really, really good, really great. Now it's my time, you know. Now I've got my 5 minutes and I have to use it. I'm ready. I'm ready for him, and I hope so that he will be ready also for me.
I can remember a while back, before you went on the four-fight win streak. You beat Devin Clark, Jared Cannonier, Jimmy Manoa, and Nikita Krylov. And I asked you, I said, where did this come from, this this new Jan that was beating everyone so convincingly. And you said it was because you had returned to an old coach, and this was the result of that. Has something else shifted from your recent wins against Rockhold, Souza, and Anderson? Is this a new version again? And if so, what has changed?
Nothing. You know, I do exactly the same when I start. When I beat Devin Clark, I do exactly the same because I'm just better and better with that. You know, with what I'm doing, I'm come back to my old coach, to the roots. And, you know, I'm one of the best in the world. I don't want to change anything because when I changed before, you know, you see, I lost two fights, win one, then I lost again. So now I'm back to the roots and everything is perfect. So I will not change anything. Just, you know, I changed sparring partners. If I, you know, fight against Jacare, I have to, you know, train with different sparring partners. If I fight against John Jones, I have to train with different fighters. So this is only one change what I do in my training camp.
Do you believe, you know, a lot of people have this discussion a lot. Do you believe that John Jones is the greatest fighter of all time?
In my weight category, yes. But in the all time, I don't know. It's a hard question. I will not answer, you know, right now like this. You know, I think maybe I don't know. Fyodor Emelianenko maybe is the greatest. I don't know.
Yeah. It's does that excite you, the way you can fight one of the greatest light heavyweights ever? Does that motivate you ahead of a fight?
No, it's amazing. You know, I'm from small town in the from maybe not nowhere, but from really small town, and now I'm traveling everywhere, and I have chance to fight with the best organization in the world, with one of the best fighters in the world. So it's, you know, if you believe in something, and just, you know, I know that I can make it. You know, dreams come true. It's amazing feeling, and I cannot wait when step to the octagon and I see John Jones and look into his eyes and start punch his face. You know,
yes,
in face.
I'm sure he is has seen your knockouts. I can remember him reacting to your recent knockout. I think it was that the Corey Anderson fight. Was he at that fight?
After Corey.
Yes, so he sees this. Do you think he's looking at you and thinking, wow?
Yeah, and he say after the fight, he say that he gave me the title shot. So I hope so. He gonna do this.
Do you believe you will make him wrestle? Do you believe he will come out and try to wrestle with you? Because I don't think he wants any of those hands.
We will see. You know, I think that when he feel my power in stand-up, he start be a wrestler, like most of fighters.
yes, indeed.
But I'm going to be ready for this. I'm going to be ready for everything.
Could this fight happen on Fight Island? Would you mind going to Fight Island to fight John Jones?
Fight Island? Yeah, why not? It's going to be a good adventure, like in, you know, Mortal Kombat or Enter of the Dragon was first.
Amazing.
So they go, yeah. So it's a great idea, you know.
is there an ideal time for you, Jan, when you would like to fight him? A month, or would you like some time off now? And
I just need 2 months to prepare. You know, I'm still on training, but you know, this is not a hard training. But I just keep my shape good. So I just need, you know, 2.5 months to be ready for John Jones.
So you haven't been able to see a lot of people around your town since you've come home. I'd say they are so excited for you. Does it mean a lot to the town you're from to see you doing so well in the UFC?
Yeah, it's amazing because now I'm living in a different city, you know. But when I go there to visit my family, my parents, and go to, you know, see my friends, so everybody wants to shake my hands and, you know, make a photo with me. So it's I feel like a superstar over there. So it's amazing. The city still remind me, and they support me a lot, and they give me also a lot of power to doing this.
I think the Polish fans are some of the best in the world. I think they really give their fighters a lot of respect. They put you guys up there with the footballers, everyone else. I think that's an amazing thing about Poland. I see it all the time in the KSW events. You must be very proud of your people.
I am, you know. They support me everywhere. where I'm fighting, they always are with me. They send me a lot of energy. So thank you, Polish fans. But also, I've got a lot of fans in the whole world. And also, I want to say thanks to them because they give me also a lot of energy and a lot of support. So it's important for me. So thank you, everyone, everywhere.
So you have to promise us if you win the belt, you will defend it in Europe, yes?
That will be amazing, you know?
That would be amazing.
And I'm ready for that. We can do this in Poland, in the National Stadium.
Yes, that would be crazy. I would love that. That's a brilliant idea. So I will ring Dana White now, and I'll make sure that happens.
Okay, so take me back what he said.
I will. Jan, thank you so much for joining us. I really hope this happens. You deserve it. And we would love to see you in there fighting John Jones for this title. It would be amazing. And fingers crossed, it's made official very soon, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And wait for another tweet.
Yes. I can't wait. Make sure it's as good as the first one.
Okay, I will.
Thank you, man. All the best.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to Jan Blachowicz, and let's hope that happens. We need more Europeans fighting for titles. That's what we always want here on Eurobash. What do you think, Niall? Is it as good as done once John Jones says it, he's the guy?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, who knows with John Jones? You'd probably get arrested again. You just don't know. You really don't know what's going on with that guy's head and, you know, what's he going to be up to tomorrow? What's he going to be up to now? It'll probably break after the show that he's got himself in trouble again. He's just one of those guys where he's just literally melted my head the last 5 years. And listen, it looks like it's going to be that way. You know, some good shit talk from Jan on social media. It's not going to hurt. John seems to be invested. You know, I want him to go to heavyweight, but let's do it. Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
It's interesting, right? Because we haven't heard of any kind of punishment. There was all this talk of, will they strip him of the title? Will they suspend him? Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my God, Jan's been trying to get to this fight for so long. And now he gets to it. And we still don't really know what's going to happen with John. I was like, that would be so bad. I asked him about it, but he was like, I don't know what's going on. And I guess none of us do know what's going on. But Jesus, that would be unfortunate, wouldn't it?
You know what's happened now? And he's lucky. He's very lucky that the UFC's head is so wrecked with all these logistics and trying to get fights on. That's what's saving John Jones. He's been pushed to the back burner at the moment, and nothing's probably going to happen. And I think we've seen that sort of precedent set with some of the other issues that went on last year, where, you know, their bigger stars seem to get away with just slaps on the wrist and no, don't do this again. I've reprimanded, like, all this bullshit from Dana White. So I think that's very much the case at the moment for John Jones. He's a lucky boy in terms of potentially getting reprimanded from the promotion, because they're just too busy, PT. Like, it's, you know, Dana and what they're trying to do at the moment. So that's my take on that one anyway.
Niall, I know you don't know about this, and I'm very excited to tell you about it. Shatri Sichodung, the one championship chief, he's told a few, I don't know.
Porky.
He said a few things over the years that have kind of made us kind of go, what? Yeah. Excuse me? But he had another one over the weekend there. So in case you don't know, there was a big gig called Together at Home, One World Together at Home. It was organized by Lady Gaga and had some of the biggest stars in the world all come together to donate money and to perform to make up for the money lost by Trump pulling his support from the WHO. So it was this huge deal.
Yeah.
Played all around the world. The Rolling Stones were on it. Elton John was on it. You know, all these big acts, Celine Dion, Andrea Bocelli, all these people playing great music for you. Sounds exactly like him. I thought he was in the room for a second. Anyway, this all happens. But little did we know that Shatri Sichodung and one championship were actually pivotal in the whole thing happening. He puts out this tweet.
Shut up.
Yesterday, One World, he's capitalized one. One World Together at Home raised $127.9 million for COVID-19 relief for our frontline healthcare workers. Please join me in congratulating and thanking our partner, Global Citizen. Global Citizen was like Lady Gaga and co basically putting this on. The one thing that I did hear that one were involved in, they allowed this to be streamed. It was live on the BBC, live on RTE, live across the world. Well, replayed across the world. And they put it on their Facebook pages and their YouTube pages.
Yeah.
But now he kind of comes out acting like he is at the helm of this. Could we say this is one of his better porkies over the years?
It's absolute madness. Are you serious here? Are you joking? Are you pulling my wire?
I mean... He hasn't directly said, like, this was me, but the way he's presented
he's
it...
He's implying
like, I feel like he is, yeah. And I mean, a lot of the MMA community felt like he was because they were like, what the fuck is going on?
They're unreal. Like, they do tell a lot of porkies one championship, in fairness. Like, they're into, like, 7 billion homes worldwide. And,
you don't believe 7 billion people are watching this? Where do you think Eddie Alvarez went, man?
I think there's a bit of farming going on. Like, I don't know, man. It's crazy. Like they put on Warrior Series and there's a million people apparently watching on their Twitter feed. Like, do you know what I mean? It's bonkers. Like, I don't know what they think they are. Like, I remember speaking to Victor Kui years ago, and he's the president. I know Chatry's running the operations day to day, and you know, I think they call themselves a media, what is it? It's like they don't call themselves an MMA promotion. They're like a media product and all this sort of absolute garbage. And it's just all this technical terms for business, because they obviously do have a lot of investors over there that are linked with Sony and stuff like that. But taking credit for that, like, just get off. Like, just stop. Just leave it. Like, you're just a fucking plonker, man. You can't be saying things like that when you've... You know, outside of Asia, very little recognition around the world, and they clearly haven't gauged much interest, even with DJ Eddie Alvarez in this side of the pond or in the States. So, like, he's just talking absolute brown, mate. Really is. Like, that's shite. Like.
To be honest, like, I think they're, like, a great product. I don't see why they keep on having to inflate what they are. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, this is pretty good in terms of MMA promotions. You're right up there. You're not quite the UFC. You're in that kind of territory.
Yeah, but they're a little bit lost as well, though, in terms of, like, you know, you turn on a one championship event these days and you're getting kickboxing, boxing and MMA and Muay Thai and all sorts of stuff. Like, you know, I think they're a little bit deluded in where they're trying to go, and, you know, whatever they're doing online, those numbers are certainly absolute horseshit. They're just lies. Like, they're straight up lies. I don't know where they're getting these 1.5 million viewers on Twitter for a fucking Warrior Series 17 event. Like, come on, lads, seriously. Do you think we're that dumb? Do you really think we're that stupid? So, listen, all good in his bar, trying to claim responsibility. People are talking about it, but people know it's a lot of absolute tosh as well. So, get a grip, mate.
On behalf of Eurobash, we just want to thank Chatry Sichotung for his 130 million donation. thank you so much. We've had champions on this show.
It's laughable. Oh, fucking hell.
All right, let me just...
Sorry. Go on.
We've had UFC champions on this show. We have had the very cream of the crop title contenders from across the world come on this show and tell us how they're dealing with quarantine. We have yet to ask a prospect, someone who's making their first steps in the sport, how it feels to be in this situation. So who better to ask than one of the most talked about fighters in the country at the moment, Mr. Ian Garry, a man who has had much media attention, a man who has commanded a lot of respect very early on in his career, a man who was even one of the most suggested people. He was in, I'd say, the top five suggested names when they were talking, what Irish fighter should we sign for UFC Dublin? He was in there. Look, I thought it was too early. I tell him that in the interview.
Yeah,
but,
we both saw that, yeah.
But we are really, really hot on this kid, man. This kid looks absolutely ridiculous so far in his career, and we're expecting huge, huge things from him. So, look, I wanted to check in with Ian and see how he's getting on, and I'm very happy I did. I'm glad we can introduce this guy to the broader European market here, because we feel as though he's going to have a huge career. So let's go over to our interview with Ian Garry. It's about 20 minutes, and we will be back after that to wrap this bad boy up. We've been trying to keep the secret under wraps for a very long time, but the secret is well and truly out. We've heard from UFC champions, we've heard from the people at the big show, but now let's see how this whole coronavirus pandemic is affecting the up-and-comers in the sport. And who better to tell us than Irish Uber prospect
Team KF prospect, Mr. Ian Gary. Ian, how are you, sir? It's a pleasure to have you on.
How's things, pal? Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, yes. I mean, what a situation we find ourselves in. You 3-0 in your pro career. The whole of Ireland standing up and taking note. And suddenly this happens. We're in a situation where we don't know what's happening next. And, of course, you with the world at your feet. How has this affected you, my friend?
Well, I mean, like on a day-to-day basis, it's really just stopping me from training as much as I would and having the banter with the lads. But other than that, really, like it's not really affecting me that much. I mean, obviously, I have to be careful, and with that, as a life sickness, so I have to be very cautious. Towards him, he's got this thing called mixed connective tissue disease, so I have to be very careful on what I'm doing and how, like, I can't be going out and acting like taking the piss or anything. So if I get it, chances are he'll die. So I other than the day to day base where I'm kind of, I get up in the morning, I go to the gym, I go home, I eat, I go to the gym again, I go home, I eat. That's really the only big difference. I mean, other than that, I normally sit around in my hole and do nothing anyway. So.
Relaxing's a big part of it, though. We have to rehab.
Exactly. Yeah, I sleep most of the day anyway. Like the lads know. Like there's been a lot of times where I've been late, and Chris like, "You're just awake, aren't you?" I'm like, "Yeah, sorry. I literally just get in my car and go." So it's been a lot of that. But obviously, the fighting aspect has me itching to go. I mean, I'm here. Me and my brother just had a little scrap last night for the crack in the hall, just going at each other. So. I mean, I'm just ready to go. I mean, I was listening to Graham Boylan on your podcast last week, and he was saying that he's ready to go whenever kind of the circumstances is there for him to push the button. And I'm just like, yep, hand up. That's me. I'm ready to go. Just give me a call, boss.
Yeah, I'd say like when you were mapping out this year, a guy at the stage of his career that you're in, I mean, I'd say you wanted to stay as active as possible. Like, you know, how many fights did you have planned for this year? I know you were meant to fight in the London card, but you had to withdraw late. But, I mean, I'm sure you were planning to be in there an awful lot this year.
Yeah, so the plan was we were lined up for March 20th, the day before the UFC London. And things kind of didn't go our way for that. I got injured. I had to get surgery on my leg. I kept that quiet. Didn't really tell anyone. I had an abscess, don't know how I got it. The doctors don't know how I got it after they ran the blood test. Just a freak thing, and it was horrible. So I couldn't really train. And then no one had said yes to the fight. We'd just been getting no after no after no. And Chris sat me down in the gym one day and just said, "Look, kid, this isn't a discussion. I'm telling you what's happening, and it's for the best." He said, "I'm not throwing you into the cage if you're not 100% ready. You're at a point in your career where you don't need to risk going in when you're not fully prepared." So he pulled the plug on that, and it was the right thing to do. I didn't want it to happen because I was ready to go, but it was the smart decision, and it kind of he's the boss. I can't argue with him, but I was meant to fight then on May 16th in Belfast, and then that would have been two done in the first kind of 5-6 months. And then we were planning to kind of go at the end of the year to bang, and after kind of August, September, we'd try to get two in and then finish the year off in the end of December. We're looking for five fights this year and to keep active and to kind of go balls to the wall with it. I mean, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. And as I've said plenty of times before, PT, I'm a pretty looking lad. I don't want to end up with scars and cauliflower ear and all this stuff. I want to get in, get out and set the legacy and leave.
And get that modelling career going, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What else can I do? I just want to get in here and enjoy. I want to get in here and do like a GSP. Get in and get out. And don't come back. Like, he done the one fight where he just further solidified his legacy against Bisping. He knew it was his time. He knew there was other people coming up. His heart wasn't in it as much. So I know I want to get in and get out. That's not to say I'll never want to stay there. It's just I'm smart. A lot of other fighters aren't. So that's my plan. So it's kind of put a foot in my face, kicking me backwards with this the coronavirus. But at the end of the day, I know it's not just affecting me. It's not like I have an injury or anything. It's affecting the entire world. So
someone else isn't out there being able to go to the gym and spar with all the lads and train 3-4 times a day. So once this thing all settles down, I'll be ready to go and I'll be ready to punch someone in the skull.
You know, as you said, like, you know, as I said, even like, you're one of the most talked about prospects in the country for a long, long time. You know, and ever since I saw you as an amateur, it's so obvious that, you know, you've been training in different martial arts. You had a certain sensibility to you and everything you are doing. And I have heard this before, but can you explain to us the martial arts history you had before you joined up with Chris and Tom?
Yeah, so basically when I was about 10, ever since I was a kid, I was always training, doing Ga and hurling, all the Irish sports. And I love them. I enjoyed just going out. Like, as you know, I'm energetic and I've ADHD up to my nose, so I just run and I don't stop and I never sit down. I can't settle, but I always loved sport and being active. And when I was about 10, I went up to a boxing club, and from the first session I done, I was hooked. I loved it, and I had about 300 amateur fights at boxing.
Holy shit.
I was fighting twice a week, three times a week, and it was just like, at the time where I was, I think I was 10 years of age, 11 years of age, 36 kilos, just going in and just trying to put a pace on lads and make them quit, because I had absolutely no power coming in and just trying to use skill. And that kind of was my initial introduction to kind of martial arts. And then I got in, I had tonsillitis, so I had tonsillitis on and off in a really weird way. The doctors hadn't seen it before. It was like constant, so it's a 2-week cycle. You have like tonsillitis for 2 weeks and then it was gone, and then it was coming back another 2 weeks later. And it was horrible, so I couldn't train, I couldn't do anything. And then I eventually got them taken out, and I was like, right, cool, I can go back to training now. Went and played a hurling game, I got my arm snapped.
Jesus.
Yeah, so that wasn't good. Went up for a high ball, caught the slitter, pulled it down into my chest, and some little knacker just pulled on my chest and snapped my arm. I still played, though. I still played for 40 minutes with a broken arm. Scored a goal and 2 points, kicked it in.
Wow.
But, yeah, I looked at my dad, and I was playing midfield at the time, and I kind of knew, like, I was the person, I was just doing all the running. So I was like, look, my dad looked at me and goes, "You okay?" I was like, "No, but look, we'll deal with it after." And then I got a tiny little tip and it wrecked, so I had to leave and go to the hospital. But then I started judo, and I loved the aspect of it. It was something different. It wasn't like boxing. I couldn't just stand in front of someone and, yeah, like, they were going to grab a hold of me and drag me around the mats if I tried to do that. So it was a completely different outlook on martial arts, and it kind of then set me up, and I was like, right, that's it. It was the final nail in the coffin for me to go, I'm going to MMA. And then I finished my leaving cert. I went to college, went, look, I don't like college, I'm quitting and I'm going to become an MMA fighter. And my mom was like, Ian, you're taking the piss. And I was like, no, look, expect that money from college to go back into your account. I've already signed the papers. I'm gone. And then, yeah, I didn't look back. I went up to Chris and Tom's place and just fell in love. Like, it's, and ever since then, it's been the same thing every week, training and just enjoying my life. So that was my introduction, kind of, and up to where we are now. It's just been madness. Like, the last couple of years have flown by because I've been having fun and doing what I love.
Yes, yes. And we have been enjoying watching you go about your business, as you know. I mean, I guess when I look at your career, you know, we already see people talking about future champion. This guy's going to be in the UFC. Is that hard to deal with for a guy that's, you know, 3 fights into his pro career? Is that expectation hard to deal with?
Not really, in a sense, because I put it all on myself anyway. I mean, I expect myself to be the Cage Warriors champion. I expect myself to make it to the UFC. And that, as I've said to people many times before, once I sign for the UFC, that's my goal done. Now we can go and have some fun and see how far we can get, because there's only a certain percentage of fighters in the world that can say they fought for the UFC. So it's great saying you're an MMA fighter, but if I can sit down and say I'm a UFC fighter, it's a different story. But I'd full on expect myself to go on and win the belt as well. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to get a paycheck. I'm here to set a legacy. and it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of hard work, but I know where I'm going. And having people say that at such an early stage in my career and seeing the potential and seeing the hard work, it's just a massive confidence boost, because they're seeing everything that I'm putting in and they're commenting on it. And it's a massive kind of reward early on, because you get fighters who don't even get that 10-0, 11-0, and it's great. So I have no complaints, and it just pushes me. And like all the little text people saying, oh, you're a future champ and I can't wait to watch a fight next on Instagram, little things like that are what motivate me and want to be better and want to train harder and fight more. So it's just about enjoying it. And a lot of fighters kind of forget that aspect and they think of it as work. I wake up every day with a smile on my face. I go to the gym, I punch my best mates in the face and I get away with it. And then I go home, I eat and I do it again. And I wake up the next morning and I get to do it all over again and laugh at it. So that's the way I look at it.
You'll be hard pressed to find someone that's been more impressed with you than me. And, you know, I've talked to Chris, your coach, a lot about you over the years, even when you're an amateur. And one thing I got to say, and I don't know, I was just wondering your take on it. One of the names that was most prominent in terms of Irish signings that came up was yours ahead of UFC Dublin. And I mean, you're three fights into your career, and I think it's amazing that people already see you in that light. But a part of me was kind of like, this is too soon. Timing is very essential in MMA, especially like in the UFC, because if you go in and make a bad impression, it's hard to change their minds about you. And not to say that you would, but did you get a sense of that at all? That, wow, this is happening very quickly, like three fights in and people are already saying, let's go to the UFC. And look, there have been guys who have been successful like that, and maybe you are one of those guys, but do you understand that kind of concern, Ian?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you just said there. The UFC Dublin card for me was a shot in the dark. It was okay, look, if it happens, it happens. Like I said it to Chris, I said, if it is, well, like we had two fights lined up before that. So we had March and May. And I said, I put up on Instagram, I was like, people are all talking about me. That's good. This is great. Like, it's just public. Like, it's good publicity. People connecting me to the UFC at such an early stage of my career. Is it too early? Yeah, probably. Am I at the level where I can go in there and beat lads in the UFC right now? 100%. I've no doubt about that. But for my career, to go into the UFC at this stage, is it the smart move? No. But if you ask me, PT, tomorrow, if Dana White or Sean Shelby or any of them had said, look, PT, we want this Ian Garry fella on the UFC Dublin, what do you think? And you came up to me and told me this, I'd be like, yeah, cool. Yeah, let's do it. I'm not thinking about it twice. I live 15 minutes from the Tree Arena. It'd be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to make my debut for the UFC in Dublin. I couldn't have turned that down. There's no way I could have. And me and Chris had a conversation about it, and he said, look, dude, it's too early. He said, I don't see you as just being a UFC fighter. He said, I can see you, and you know, Chris doesn't like to kind of blow smoke up people's arses.
No, the opposite, but in fact.
Exactly. He'll tell you, exactly. You know yourself better than anyone. But he said, look, I don't see you as being a UFC fighter. He said, I see you as potentially being a UFC champion. So he said, let's not rush this. And I completely understood where he's coming from, but he knew for a fact that if that came up, I wouldn't have said no. I would have said everything but no, and would have tried my hardest to make that UFC Dublin a reality. But it wouldn't have been the smart move if, because I know what would have happened. I would have went in there, and I would have went crazy. I would have went throwing everything at whoever my opponent was. I would have went in there looking to take his head off. Not looking to finish him early, like a Jack Shore type of thing. Go in there and finish him in the third round and make a statement. Look, I'm here, I can do it all. Anybody who wants a piece of me, let's do it. But then you throw yourself into a shark tank and you don't get anything else but other sharks coming at you. So at the moment, I need to develop and slowly get to where I know I'm going to be. And then once I'm in the UFC, in, say, early next year or late next year, which is when I'm thinking, obviously this coronavirus is putting a pause on everything, but I was saying early 2021, the first half of the year, I think I could have signed for them. So it's just a case now of
how fast am I going to develop over the next couple of months? And when I get in there, I'll be looking to scalp everyone. I'll say no to no one. I'll fight everyone. And I'll get in there and I'll do exactly what I need to do. I'll put on a show. I'll give the fans something to watch. And I'll do everything that I need to do to get to the top and win that belt. And that's so far down the line that I'm not even thinking about it, in a sense that I've got Cage Warriors belt to worry about first. But yes, to your answer, everything about the UFC Dublin was just so appealing for me, and it would have been hard to say no to it.
Yeah, that's it. I completely understand where you're coming from. I guess, like, look, you know more than anyone the link between Cage Warriors and the UFC. And look, from this conversation alone, it's so clear that that is where your mind is at. You know you're going to be in the UFC someday. I think a lot of people in Ireland and across Europe agree with you based on what you've done already. But what are your goals with Cage Warriors? Have you set yourself, like, you know, a blueprint as to what you want to do there before you go and fight in the octagon?
Yeah, there's a little plan in place. So
do tell.
I don't really care about what my record gets to, in a sense of, like, I'm not getting beaten, that's for sure. We'll just get that out of the way. There's no one beating. That's not happening. It just won't. But it's a case of, like, it doesn't matter if I'm 5-0, 6-0, 12-0. It doesn't matter how fast or how slow my career goes. I know I'm going to get there. But it's a case of, I want to win the welterweight title. Now, that's going to happen, because that's the way that I fight at. But I'm also a big boy. Like, I'm 6'3".
Yes.
I'm 22 years of age, and I'm not light. So let's put it that way. So I would love to go up and, obviously, depending on how the circumstances are with the welterweight division and who's at the top of it, I wouldn't mind going up and challenging for that title and winning that as well, because, as you know, obviously, there's a certain attraction to it with Chris and James having held the middleweight title. I wouldn't mind going up and making it a little trilogy for the club. So that's something I'd love to do. But at the end of the day, if the UFC come calling for me when I'm 6-0 and I haven't won the title, I'm gone. And that's the way I look at it. Is I'm not turning down that opportunity. I feel like if I was to step into the UFC right now, I could beat guys in the roster. The problem is the top 10, top 15 guys, that's when you start to get problems. So I just want to develop my career before I get to UFC, so that when I'm in there, I know I can beat every single guy in the top 10 or in the top 15. And that's, like, you know I'm not short of confidence.
No, I don't think anybody would think that based on this so far.
it's more about being smart. So, and that's sometimes fighters kind of, they're offered something and they don't think about it, and they just take it, and maybe it wasn't the wrong move, it wasn't the right move, and they didn't realise until after they've made the mistake. So I just want to make sure everything I do, I can sit down and say, no, I don't regret that decision. Everything I've done was smart. And look, as I said, I need to stay pretty, so you won't be chucking me in there with a Kamaru Usman who's going to take me down and elbow the face off. So
be a tough debut, all right.
Not a hope, but once my skill set's ready to get, like, come here, I could do it now, but there'd be a lot of people who could cause me problems because I'm so young in my career. And like I think I only started MMA, like, my first fight was November 19th, 2017. Wow. So that was my amateur debut.
Yeah,
my pro debut was February 16th, 2019. So I'm only in this game a short time, and the reason I say, like, life has gone so fast is because I've done nothing but fighting since that first day, since that first fight. I've just been, like, concentrating on the next fight and the next fight and what we need to improve on, and I'm just enjoying my time. So I'm watching the gym, and this is why I don't see anything but success for me, is because I'm in this, I've been training for 3-4 years now, and I've haven't gotten bored. I only want to train more. I only want to, like, succeed more. The motivation just keeps going up the better I'm doing, and the more I'm winning, and it's just driving me every day. So it's a case of, I just want to get in there again and fight next, and every time that's the scenario.
Do you look? I mean, obviously, I know you look up to Tom King, you look up to Chris Fields, you look up to James Webb in the gym. I'm sure you look up to a lot of your other teammates as well. But I mean, do you look at the guys who have walked that path already before you? The guys who have, you know, gone from Cage Warriors to the UFC. Some of them, of course, who won UFC titles. Some of them multiple UFC titles. Do you look at that? Does that give you confidence when you see guys? I mean, you mentioned Jack Shaw earlier. Does that fill you with confidence to see them guys making it happen, having gone down the same road as you did?
Yeah. I mean, it makes complete sense. It's not like, for example, you know yourself, when Conor was coming up, no one had done it before. So he was going into uncharted territory and saying, I'm going to do this. And everyone went, all right, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to do it. And then he done it. Now people are like, it's a thing. It can happen. And there's been multiple Cage Warriors champions that have gone on, or Cage Warriors fighters that have gone on to succeed in the UFC and obviously become champions. And there'll be many more in the future as well. I mean, the thing with Cage Warriors is we're just producing people who are hungry to succeed and fight for titles and win and succeed and set a legacy. So for me, it's very reassuring to know that there is people who have gone before me and walk the path I'm currently walking and made it to the end and held the UFC titles. But I just think I'm different. I'm a young kid who doesn't give a shit, who just wants to fight. He will fight anyone, and yeah, I nothing will stop me. And I don't care about what people think about me. I don't care about any of this. I just want to go in there and win. And that's what drives me.
Ian, an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I'm so glad that we got you on. It's been a long time coming, and I wanted to let everyone in Europe know what an interesting dude you are, and what a passionate guy you are, and what a motivational dude you are. So it was great to have you there, and of course you were full in, Gary. There, I got 100% of the juice out of you there. Very enthusiastic.
Nothing else but just me. 100% real. Nothing else. You know that.
You're the man, Ian. Oh, thanks so much, bud.
Take care, PT. It was a pleasure talking to you.
All the best. Till next time.
Stay safe, bud.
You too.
And that was Ian Gary. What a enthusiastic man he is. He is, you can tell, he's just brimming with confidence, man. Even when you talk to him, you can't help but smile because you can just see it all. He has a huge vision for his future. And look, he's looking great so far. It's one of those stories that's really getting the Irish MMA community very happy and very, very enthusiastic about the future.
You know what's not looking. You know what's not looking great. His clothes. The guy can't dress. I said this to him before. We had a conversation about this. He looks like something out of Bross.
You know, Ian is so young. He doesn't know what Bross is, though.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was actually going to tweet that to him before when he was slagging me. And he, but I just sort of copped.
He's going to call you a boomer.
Yeah, I'm old as fuck. I dress better than him, though. I think we were at, well, it was a Bellator, and he was obviously there supporting his teammates, and he had this like tight black leather jacket on, and like these like weird PVC skin tight bloody jeans on. Odd stuff, Ian. Sort it out, bro. I said to Ian, you hit me up. You have my number there. Listen, I'll bring you clothes shopping, mate. I can do it online over Skype or something here as well. Like, no problem, man. Absolutely no problem. Sort it out, young lad. And you know who he sounds very like? He sounds like a rugger bugger jock, doesn't he? I've always thought that about Ian. Well, I
mean, this is what I actually really, really like about Ian. And I've said it to him before. I think a guy like him gets this spotlight put on him. And the same as Reese McKee.
Yeah.
They are just such lovely lads.
Lovely lads. Yeah. I totally agree.
They really are, and I think they're fantastic ambassadors for the sport.
Oh, brilliant.
And I think, you know, these are the type of guys that we need to see pushed forward and given that spotlight, because they're not only really brilliant fighters, but they're great people as well. And I'm really, really happy to see that everything's going so well for them.
Very interesting you said it. Sorry, I don't cut across you there. But, you know, I listened to, obviously, the interview with Ian there, and you know, you talk about representatives for even their you know, their local communities, guys who've played with their GAA teams. You know, Reese is a prominent member up in Ballymena, you know, obviously with his gym now as well, and you know, known Rodney and known that whole area. Ian's the same around his community, and they're such good, you know, lads in terms of, you know, dealing with the media, like, you know, very articulate in how they come across. And they're nothing but positive role models and representatives for the sport in Ireland. And it's a credit to two lads at such young age to have such good head on their shoulders, and hopefully that continues long into the future when both of them are in the UFC. And listen, hopefully in the next 2 years we'll be talking about both them being in the promotion, and it's exciting times to see those guys really sort of flourish at the moment, and great representatives, as I say, for mixed martial arts in this island.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about myself when I was their age, it was an absolute disgrace, man. Like, honestly, you couldn't put a microphone on my face for 5 minutes.
21 years of age, I probably had a broken leg in on a boat in Australia getting heat stroke. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that did happen, by the way. So, at that age. So, yeah, listen, just fantastic. And, let's hope everything works out for them, because they're two guys really representing the sport well, as I said, and two lovely young individuals, bar some of their clothing options.
I think you both dress fantastically, lads. But I wanted to ask you, you were just speaking about the younger Noel McGrath there. I think you inadvertently began this whole me at 20 thing, which are pics of your beautiful hair in Australia back in the day. I saw you putting them out with me no hashtag. 20? Just like,
what's me at 20? Is this some new thing on our end?
Yeah, like it's a hashtag. You put up a picture of your 20.
Notice.
Yeah, but I feel like you began it because you were just kind of throwing out some pictures every now and again. And next of all, it became this whole thing. So congratulations on being a worldwide trendsetter.
Deadly, yeah. No, because I was cutting out my room, as I said, and I found a load of I found a load of photos of New Zealand and Australia when I was 20 and 21. And I think I banged one or two up. And I've actually a few more I'm going to keep for a rainier day of a potential New Zealand rugby coach getting very drunk with us.
No way.
Yeah, I swear to God, yeah. He manages one of the teams down under in the Super 16s, and former New Zealand international. Bad man.
Your hair is nearly, I'd say it's shoulder length in these pictures. I mean, do you think you could nearly recreate that by the end of this quarantine, given how little we can get our hair cut?
I could, but you know what I'm going to do? I went up to my sister's today, and you can't get hair clippers online at the moment because they're all sold out, even on Amazon and stuff. Like, there's 2 weeks, I think, before you get one to zero on Prime. So I went up to my sister's today and I picked up the clippers. So I'm going to shave the head tomorrow. Back like in my old days, I was like, I was one extreme or the other. I was either really long hair or just shave it all off. That was me back in the day. So I'm gonna whack over.
I've seen you with both.
Yeah, I'm gonna whack on a blade 3 tomorrow and just short. Like, why not? Fuck it. Like, I'm not gonna be going out of no one to impress. I'm fucking in this bloody office half the time. So yeah, fuck it. It'll grow back. Well, hopefully it'll grow back, Petey. I'm not getting any younger, as you well know.
you've a good head of hair.
I do. It's not bad. I'm receding a little bit. And wait here. I found out one of me mates, sly little fuck. I just said joke. Like, his missus was cutting his hair, and I think she took a bit of a chunk out of his head. And I went, he sort of lifted up his head. He goes, look what you did to me. And I went, holy fuck. How did your hair grow back so quick? The sneaky little bastard got a hair transplant.
Wow.
What a derper.
I mean, if it's ruining your life, and you feel bad about it.
Why do people get so worried about it? Like, it's only your fucking hair. Like,
I don't know. I don't give a shit, to be honest.
You just look like you've pubes in your head. Like,
yeah, my fucking hair.
You know why I said that? Because I know it fucking wrecks your head and you get paranoid, and he's doing it now. Oh, if you can see him. Oh, I'm such a fucking shitster.
No, it's I'm the joking. Volume of it. Like, it's
grand.
It's huge.
I think it looks I think it looks better longer.
Oh, man. By the end of this, it's going to be a full-on fucking...
You should leave
it. Throw. Oh, yeah. No, I have no intention to doing anything with it. Do you know what I just hate? Do you know these hairs that grow on the back of your neck?
Oh, that wrecks my head. Just get a beard trimmer or something. Just whip them off. They do my hair.
Yeah, I have a barber.
Get a lane to do it.
I'll get a lane. Sort my shit out, yeah. But I wanted to ask you a few things. I guess one of these things is about the fact that, we're allowed out for, an hour's exercise or whatever the hell it is. Once you stay in 2K within your district. I know that your shops is just across the road there. And I've seen that you've actually stopped going on foot patrol now and you have an electronic scooter.
I was waiting for this. I'm getting fucking mailed out. Petey, I could not give a fuck. I'm having grey crack scooting all over the place in that motherfucking thing, man. I got one, yeah, last week because my mate...
I say it's good fun.
Oh, it's deadly. Like, it goes up to 25 kilometers an hour. Like, it's fucking whipping around, like, and... Nah, it's bloody handy, man. It's good to just get out and see what's going on around the town and patrolling and having the people, you know, throw rose petals at me and the chicks whistling at me. It's good for the confidence, man. You know, been down a bit in the last few weeks. So all good in the hood and church town. But obviously, Petey, you got to stay within inside your 2 kilometer radius.
Of course, let's not go crazy, guys. But
nah, it's a great little thing. I'd advise people to get them. I'm a big fan of them. I was in Spain there last year. Jeez, that seems like fucking years away. It'd be years before we get to Spain again by the sounds of this. But yeah, they were like literally all over the place, and they were dead. And ever since then, I was hooked on them, and I said I have to get one. So one of the lads hooked me up at one for wholesale price. So yeah,
how much are they?
It's the one I have is worth between 800 and 900, but I got it for 6. So yeah, no, it was a good deal on it. So happy, and it goes like for one charge, you get like 50 kilometers. So like, you could like go to the airport and back theoretically on eco mode. And it goes up to 25 kilometers per hour speed.
But tell me, like, how do you, like, is it compact? Like, do you have to leave it outside the shop? Because that shit is not going to fly in Blanchardstown, man.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't fly anywhere. I wouldn't leave it outside the shop. I wouldn't go into the shop, but I'd walk over to the shop because I haven't got a lock for it yet. And I'm sure if you can get like tracking system locks and all that bollocks as well. Like if you're that paranoid, you can stick it in the motor. I'll probably just buy a lock on Amazon or something in the next couple of weeks. But I won't be going into any shops. Like I run into this news agent further down. There's no queues, that bollocks. But I'd do that. But I wouldn't go to Super Value, whether or not like that or a big supermarket.
It doesn't follow up around now.
It does. Yeah, they follow up, but it's a little bit of a heavier one. But you wouldn't sort of fold it up and carry it. It'd be too heavy. Like it's a heavy piece. It's good. Good economical motor, well, Pizzy.
Your Southside brother really put me in the shit. Andy Stevenson. Andy Stevenson.
Andy, Andy Stevenson sounds the same as Ian Gary. Two of them sound fucking so similar.
Oh, they do sound quite alike. They do. But I would say that Ian Gary has more of the old North County twang to him. It's not North Side, it's North County. Because I have...
Where's Ian from? You know,
he's from Malahide.
Oh, the posh part of the North Side.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's great.
It's great. Yeah, we want these guys going in the posh parts.
We had Finglas, we had with Neil Seary, we had Tallow with Paddy. Yeah. And obviously, you know, you had other South Siders like Carl Pendred repping the privileged crew like yourself, you know what I mean? So, I mean... It's all good. Every angle, I think it's great that everyone gets represented.
Of course.
But Andy Stevenson. Yeah. Andy, right? Here's the thing. Andy's built like a brick shithouse. Like, I mean, he is a lot fitter than I am. And
come on now. We know what it is, though.
He gets hit up with this tagged in this 5K thing. He does his 5K. And who does he tag? Me. And I was sitting on the bog, evacuating my bowels, as I do. And I was sitting there going, oh, fair play, Andy. Next one, PT Carroll. Fuck. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I haven't ran 5K since I'm 15, I wouldn't say. Honestly. I'd say since I'm 15. I'm going to die, man. I'm going to die. Like, it's going to take me an hour and a half. I saw Kiefer Crosby sharing that he did 14 kilometers in an hour and a half, which is very impressive today. And I was like, I won't even get fucking 5K done in an hour and a half. And Andy Stevenson did it in 25 minutes.
Yeah, he's on steroids and shit, though, on EPO.
I think he's on the juice, yeah. Can we just say it now? Can we just say it?
We just did. Yeah, you're on the juice, Stevenson.
Andy, seek help.
Yeah.
Andy, we're worried.
It's bad. Like, you're just a disgrace.
And your raids?
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be going to an event and you know, have someone assault me because of road rage. Or not, roid rage.
Road rage. Imagine combining the two, road and roid. It would be a fucking disaster. I'm gonna do that tomorrow.
I've been tagging a load of these shit, and I just have fucking ignored them. Fuck them.
That's not in the spirit of quarantine and all. And maybe, you know, maybe tomorrow you'll get tagged in another one.
The spirit of quarantine. That's fucking hilarious. You're saying, look, it's Christmas, you fucking geebag. Jesus Christ. The spirit.
Quarantine. Very good.
Peter the Virus. That's what we're going to call you from now on.
I'm going to tag the shit out of you on this tomorrow after I do
You're on your bollocks because I won't be doing it.
If I can still move my body in any kind of way, but I'm going to try and do it properly.
Do you want me to have a heart attack?
No, I won't.
Well, then don't tag me. There you go. If PT tags me, he's putting my life in jeopardy. So there you go.
Get in the spirit of quarantine, though. That's all I'm asking.
I'm fucking in great. I'm actually, I swear to God.
Yeah,
I'm great. You know, the best few weeks I've had in about 2 years, if you know what I mean, PT. Yeah, the head's feeling a little bit refreshed, you know, don't have to worry about a certain place. So that's, yeah, happy days, brother, you know, it's all good, you know, getting fatter, eating no meat.
you are probably really healthy now, actually, Jonna, because, I mean, I think I'm drinking more than you at the moment, 100%.
Oh, I am. I'm actually, like, again, another week's gone by and I had 2 cans on Saturday night. That was it, literally. So I've actually...
Yeah, I only ever have 2 or 3 cans, but I mean, I'm having the most days.
No, I've literally kept it to a Saturday. I keep, when I'm over in the shop, I keep buying 4 cans and I've a buildup of about 20 cans in my fridge now and I haven't touched any of them. It's madness. So no, like not eating the meat. I've only had red meat once in 2 months now. And I'm feeling the bloating feeling is gone, which is great. Like, I used to eat red meat and it would stick for a couple of days. Now I'm waking up most mornings, it's gonna block your ears, kids. Every morning I get up, like, I'm up at, you know, up earlier, up fresh, not feeling sore and shit, and get up.
I've noticed that too. You're actually up crack of dawn style.
I'm 7 o'clock and I go to bed pretty late still, but like, I'm actually sleeping earlier as well. I noticed a little bit. Still waking up here and there because I'm not a light sleeper anyway. But first thing I do in the morning is have a big massive dump. Like, the first thing I do. So it's obviously, you know, you're not having the meat lodged in your system and you have your coffee and then the floodgates open. It's great. Like, you feel good for the day. So I'm buying a skipping rope now. I'm going to start doing some light exercises and, you know.
And then later in the week, you'll do the 5K run that I tag you in.
Maybe in 6 years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna document it. I'm gonna die doing this, but I will fucking do it. I promise.
You have to document. You don't. You should document it. Grab your DSLR. Oh, I will. Grab your DSLR or your phone and stick it in your face and you're doing.
No,
it.
Sure. Elaine fucking runs around the place the whole time. She'll just fucking make videos of me laughing at me. Yeah. Sure.
Tell Elaine to follow you. That would be fucking hilarious. That would be fucking hilarious.
Quit. Yeah, she is. People, she's living here at the moment.
People, you need to get on to PT to make Elaine do this on Twitter. So just do it.
Tuesday morning. By the time you're listening to this, the stories will already be up, I'm sure. But I can't wait, man. I've been waiting for fucking months for this Bulls documentary. Ariel Helwani's mate is making it. And he made the Fabulous Five. I'm sure you've seen it, the 30 for 30 documentary.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Ariel told me about this, I'd say, last year. And I've been going, fuck, how am I going to watch it?
The Jordan one.
You've probably seen me online going, how do I get a VPN? But it's... Thank God it's on Netflix UK and I'm going to watch it.
Oh, is it on Netflix tonight?
So they're releasing 2 episodes every week. And so the first 2 episodes are out now. So that's exactly what I'm going to do straight after this. And I can't wait because I've been working since 7 a.m. and it's nearly 9 p.m.
Brilliant. So, now I'll be watching that now as well. I didn't realize that. Cool. I'll edit this and I'll get stuck into that in my bed for the evening. And then, that's another thing. Anyone have any documentary recommendations, hit me up. I fucking love the things. They're deadly. So that's pretty much fucking it now, Pete, to be honest with you. But.
Well, you'll get that one. Have you watched Defiant ones yet?
No, I can't get into it. Is the first few a little bit boring or something?
Is there only 2 parts of it?
Oh, is there?
The first 10 minutes
or something, I was a little bit bored. But there's some smashing ones. Some great war documentaries around on Netflix and stuff.
I don't really like war. I mean, even the films about war. We watched that 1917 last night.
Yeah.
And it's just the color of war films. It's so fucking gray and gritty. And I know it was shot very well. Mm. There's a fantastic scene with a plane and everything like that. But it just doesn't do anything.
I agree with you. I don't like... I'm not mad in like the World War ones. I'd be more interested in sort of the modern era, our era sort of wars. Like, you know, you've Ben Anderson who does unbelievable documentaries on Vice. You can get them on YouTube. They're free there, like the Islamic State.
You have loads of fucking info like that. You know way more about what's going on in the world than I do. To be fair, I don't fucking pay attention.
I've been sort of thinking, man, I'd love to be a war journalist. I'd love to have a camera and go out in the field. It's something I've always had a massive thing to be doing. And I've started thinking about it. There's a couple of people I want to speak to and maybe start doing a couple of interviews in terms of war and stuff. Because it actually, like for years, it's fascinated me. And I've sort of thought about it now and I've watched more and more and I'm going, fuck, man, let's get involved in this shit.
Tell you what. I've lost the plot. Tell you what, right? This is what we're going to do. When everything's normal, you come down to Blanchetown for a day and I'll put you in a few war zones and we'll see how you get on.
Sure, why not?
Let's see what happens.
Why not?
Yeah, so I'm going to go and watch this now. I hope these are all very safe and not having street parties. Like, definitely isn't happening in Blanchardstown at the moment. Yeah, be safe. Wash those fucking hands. And this will be all over. We'll make us stronger.
Peace.
Obvious.